Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rock and Roll Fables with Kenny Bodkin. Okay, I got a story for you. So Ron Blair, who is the bassist, best known for his work with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, he started in 1976 playing with the Heartbreakers, and he played on the first four albums, the original, the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, You're Gonna Get It, Damn the Torpedoes, and Hard Promises. All of which had amazing work on it. There's an amazing documentary out there. Called Running Down a Dream by Peter Bogdanovich on the career of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And in that, Tom tells the story of when they were originally playing in Amsterdam, and like young men of their age are apt to do, they went out and bought as much weed and hash and all the stuff that was legal at the time over in Amsterdam and brought it back to the hotel room. Well, it came time to leave Amsterdam, and management came in and said, hey, you guys got to throw all this away or smoke it or do something. You can't take it to Germany because you'll go to jail, and we have a gig in Germany, so we need to just get rid of all this before we leave. You know, and they were all pretty upset about that, you know, but it made sense. Nobody wanted to go to jail. So they threw everything away, they thought. And then they get to the airport in Germany the next day. Mind you, they had like a 4 o'clock showtime on German television. So they're going through customs, and they find a small hash pipe in Stan Lynch's, the drummer's, baggage. And there's like a little bit of resin in it, you know. He's not bringing over anything, but, so they pull everybody out of line and sit them down and start the process that goes through something like that. And Tom is sitting next to Ron Blair, the bassist for the band, and Tom says something. He says, isn't this some crap? I mean, you know, he turns to Ron, and Ron smiles, and his teeth are black from having a big wad of hashish in his mouth, and he's trying to chew it and swallow it. At that point, Tom thought, oh man, we're going to jail. We're definitely going to jail. But like the trooper he is, Ron swallowed the hash, they got in the limos and finally made their way to the studio, to where no time to rehearse. It's like you're on. And and Tom says, and they play the video in the documentary, says, if you want to see the most glassy-eyed focused bass player in the world, you watch that video. And Ron Blair is playing it. Ron was the oldest member of the Heartbreakers, and come 1981, 82 time frame, he decided he didn't want to, you know, do it anymore. He didn't want to be part of the grind of, you know, recording, then going out on the road and touring the world and coming back and recording and going back out on tour. You know, so he quit the band, and he, you know, they found a wonderful replacement in Howie Epstein. He was not only a great bass player, but he had those amazing high harmonies that matched Tom's voice perfectly. Ron would come back and play on albums, you know, all the way up to Southern Accents. He would come and play bass on those, and he buys a women's apparel store on the beach in Malibu. So he is running a bikini shop on the beach in Malibu after having toured the world several times over as a Heartbreaker. So Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducts Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers in 2002, and Tom decides to split it up into the two bands, because by that time Stan Lynch had was no longer a Heartbreaker. So he decided to have Ron come back and have Stan Lynch come back and play drums for half of it, and then he would it would change to Howie Epstein on bass and Steve Ferrone on drums for the second half of the performance. And he said it was really, Tom said it was really nice having Ron play with them, being able to look next there, and it seemed very natural. Shortly after the induction ceremony, Howie Epstein passed away. In looking for a replacement for Howie, they really didn't have to look far. They had all felt the same way when working with Ron Blair for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So they asked Ron if he would consider coming back into the band, and he said he would, and he came back, and he played up until the very last gig of 2017, when we lost Tom. And he, you know, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, world-class bass player, and by all accounts, a really, really nice guy. Isn't that something? Okay, I got a story for you. 1974, Lynyrd Skynyrd releases the song Sweet Home Alabama. And there is a lyric in that song. It goes, well, I heard Mr. Young sing about her. I heard old Neil put her down. Well, I hope Neil Young will remember a Southern man don't need him around anyhow. That was a response to Neil Young's songs on his album Harvest, specifically Southern Man and Alabama, which were rather critical of the Southern lifestyle. And he was speaking specifically of, you know, your Southern racist redneck bigots at the time. They thought, and rightfully so, that Neil was generalizing to the point where he was putting the entire South in one bucket. I think Ronnie Van Zant said to Rolling Stone that they thought Neil was shooting all the ducks in order to kill one or two. And that they were Southern rebels, and that more than that, they know the difference between right and wrong. Same interview, he said that Sweet Home Alabama was a joke. He said, we didn't even think about it. The words came out that way. We just laughed like hell and said, ain't that funny? We love Neil Young. We love his music. And after that, Ronnie Van Zant wore a Neil Young t-shirt on stage during performances. I'm sure you've seen the shirt. It's from the cover of Tonight's the Night. For his part, Neil Young was very magnanimous about the whole thing. He said they had a point, absolutely, that they that Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, was not just shooting off at the mouth. That he's quoted as saying in his 2012 book, Waging Heavy Peace. He says, "Alabama richly deserved the shot that Lynyrd Skynyrd gave me with their great record. I don't like my words when I listen to them today. They're accusatory and condescending and not fully thought out and too easy to misconstrue." And Neil Young also wore a Lynyrd Skynyrd shirt on stage at least once. He sent Ronnie Van Zant three songs he hoped that Lynyrd Skynyrd would record. One of them was Powderfinger. Of course, the plane crash meant that that would never happen.
Look out, Mama, there's a white boat coming up the river with a big red beacon and a flag and a man on the rail. I think you better call John, 'cause it don't look like they're here to deliver the mail, and it's less than a mile away. I hope they didn't come to stay. It's got numbers on the side and a gun, and it's making big waves.
One of those songs was Powderfinger, which he put out, which Neil Young put out much later on Rust Never Sleeps, but it has some pretty prophetic lyrics in it.
Big John's been drinking since the river took him. So the power's
in. You could see exactly how this would fit into the canon of Lynyrd Skynyrd songs, the lyrics about Big John and Emmy Lou and just the Southern vibe of it, and And the lyrics that always get me is towards the end of the song, cover me with the thought that pulled the trigger, just think of me as one you never figured would fade away so young with so much left undone. Remember me to my love, I know I'll miss her. I mean, that's the Lynyrd Skynyrd story right there. Legend has it that Ronnie Van Zant was buried in his favorite Neil Young t-shirt. Isn't that something? You've been listening to Rock and Roll Fables with Kenny Bodkin. We can be contacted at kenny.d.bodkin@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and support your local musicians.